Another week of ZTGD Radio. I don't know if y'all know this, but this is episode 792 for April 22nd, 2024. And on the show this week, we have the Womber.
Yes, sir.
We got Terrence.
What up?
We got video games. Maybe.
Got them games. Got them games.
You sure about that?
Yeah, well, you know.
There's so many embargoes floating around. Like, I just remembered I have another game that I've had for, like, shit, like 2 weeks. And nope, I still can't talk about it. Okay.
Yeah, I had to check my list, too, because they're, you know, embargoes.
I can't keep up with shit. Like, it's been a slow time, so, like, most of the stuff that we're playing is, like, it's not, like...
Right. Like, you would think
shit,
it's...
but, like...
Yeah.
It's weird, man. Some weird shit going on. All right, well, let's get into it and let's talk around the things that we can't talk about and talk about the things that we can. Because that's always fun. And it's not that we're like, oh, I got a game you can't play. It's just fucking annoying that you're like, I can't talk about this.
Exactly.
Game.
Yeah, like it is not at all the whole, yeah.
Like, I ain't on Twitter, like, my social media embargo is up, and I can tell you that I'm playing this game.
Right. With the screenshot, you know, of the title screen and your setup and all that jazz. Man, come on.
Like, I saw everybody with the Stellar Blade stuff. And yes, we have Stellar Blade, and yes, there will be a review out this week. But, like, I know Jay was like, I ain't tweeting that shit.
I swear they get some sort of digital monies or something for putting that out there or whatever.
Well, it's the clout is what it is. Like, they don't give you anything for it, but, like, if you're a good boy, then, you know.
Got you.
Yeah, they gotta keep them relationships up.
Community building. What that is. It's community building. I'm terrible at that, obviously.
Yeah. I just don't
You'd
need
be in a lot different place if you could build a community, Terrence.
That's true.
I know.
I just, man, I'm sorry. I can't kiss the ass of a billion-dollar corporation. Like, I just, yes, I get excited about games, but, like.
Yep.
I'm not gonna follow your marketing schedule. Like, that's what I do in real life. Like, I understand what it is. But, like, I'm just, no. I do this because I like playing the games.
Right. You're here for a good time.
Yeah,
like, I ain't
exactly.
trying to listen. Yeah, I feel you. 100%.
So, but that also means that I won't get all the cool shit, which is fine.
Yep.
Anyway, video games. Terrence, you want to kick us off?
Yeah. I'll go ahead. So I'm writing a review on this. I'll go ahead and just talk about it because really, I think it's the only new thing I could even mention right now. But I am playing the Tales of Kinzara. Was the Legend of Zhao or is
it
Zhao?
I thought it was Tales of Kinzara Zhao.
Yeah, that's what it is. Zhao is the character that you play as. Kinzara is this very Afro-futurist or future Afroist, however they say that, kind of Wakanda-esque society. Very in tune with the spiritual nature of things out there. You play as a shaman. The whole thing about this game is actually really cool because I guess it's really cool and kind of sad or cool sad and I don't know, but the
cool,
so the
sad.
Dude that made the game, yeah, it's cool sad, I can't think of his name, but it's the gentleman, the actor that voiced Bayek in Assassin's Creed Origins. He started this studio and his father passed and he found, cause he actually, he put out a documentary, to accompany the release of the game that came out, I think last week. They showed us some snippets of it at the little, press thing that we did for the game when they were, you know, talking about it and stuff. And it's really heartfelt. Like the whole project is really like it's for his father. Like it's, you know, I guess he found some books and things of his father where he was telling him, you know, these different stories and stuff that he didn't tell him when he was still here. And in this game, it's the very similar. At the outset of the game, the boy has lost his father. Zhao has died at this time, and his mom says, "Hey, you know, he left some books or something in there for you. You know, you should go check that." I'm paraphrasing, of course.
You know, you sent over a code so I can check this out because it's a Metroidvania and I'm down with that jam.
Yep,
Like, I watched that intro, like, is his mother pregnant?
it yes. So I don't. It has not kind of gone back into that. So after that initial part where he sits down and starts reading, you take control of Zhao. I have not gone back to the present, I guess, to see that, but it does look like she's pregnant, yeah. Because even
Yeah.
in like the pictures, which is beautiful art, like the art style in this game is fucking beautiful. Yeah, she definitely is pregnant,
And like it was
but.
throwing me off because I was like, "Is that his wife?" I was like, "No, that's his mom," because he keeps calling her mama. And I'm like, "But
Yep, I
he's
was
like a
confused too.
grown ass man, and his mother is pre like, wow, okay. I just want to clarify what's going on here."
Yep, I was confused too. So I think that the character that's reading the story, and I can't remember his name. God. I think he's like a teenager, on the cusp of manhood. Because the tale that his father is telling him, which is, you know, what you play out in the game, and as you said, it's a Metroidvania, is he, which is, you know, kind of generational. His father, who was the shaman of this tribe, had died, and he wants nothing more than to reconnect with his father. He wants to talk to him and ask him, you know, some questions about this, the burden, not necessarily the burden, but the honor, I guess, that's on him now. And he doesn't have his father here to kind of lead him, you know, kind of show him the path of becoming this shaman. It's kind of dropped on him. So he summons the Lord, you know, of death, who, you know, puts him on this quest. There's three great spirits that have eluded this Lord of Death, and it's the legend says if someone can bring those to heal for him, he'll give them whatever they want. So that is your quest. You are out to catch these three spirits that have eluded death, so that you can in turn be brought back to, you know, have your father brought back to you. Now, as far as I've gotten into it, I'm almost certain that at the end there's going to be like a lesson kind of thing that, you know, you don't necessarily, you know, you have to learn to live with that loss kind of thing. I kind of feel like that's the way it's going. But I will tell you this, the journey, like the gameplay is really fun. I don't know how much you got to play of it, but as you said, it's a Metroidvania. Go ahead.
I was gonna say, yeah, I played, well, maybe like half hour. I need to go back to it.
Well, yeah, it's a lot of fun. When I played the demo, I was really iffy because they had a demo during Steam Fest, and it was funny because I think Prince had just come out, and so that was, you know, definitely what it was going to be compared to because that was a Metroidvania, so everything about that, you know, was similar. And it was rough. And I was like, oh man, like the art style was cool and the music is dope, but like, oh man, the gameplay. But they got that together. Like it feels pretty solid. Like I, you know, some of the animations I wish were a little more fluid, especially when the traversal. And I think they dropped a patch because this actually feels better when I was playing some last night. But there's a double jump that you get, you have it off from the beginning. So you don't have to, you know, unlock it like you normally do in these Metroidvanias where you have to find all your different abilities. But it was weird because like you would hit the double jump button and he would just kind of spin in place, but you wouldn't get any extra air or momentum or anything. So I was like, what the point of this? So I was missing a lot of jumps, or in parts where you have to go like jump from the left wall to the right wall, like to navigate up. Sometimes he would do the little double jump spin and then I would never reach the other wall to get up, so I would fall down. Like it was, yeah, but I think that was patched out, so that's, you know, that's cool. But as I said, it is the story is the narrative is very touching, very heartfelt. I think it's something that all of us can relate to. Loss is, is a part of life, unfortunately. The presentation is just absolutely stunning. Like the music, the vibe, the graphics, like it's a beautiful game. As I said, I haven't finished it yet, and I don't want to get too deep into it, because I am going to write up a review. We just got the code a little late because they had the codes for everything but Xbox.
That's the standard.
It's the way it goes. Yeah, it's the way it goes. If you want Xbox, you got to wait. So we got ours a little bit late, but I'll
Xbox
I'll
last and everything. That's just
yeah.
That's...
the shame is what it is. But this is a good this is a really good game, and this is dropping at $20. Like you can't beat that price. Like and this is not a AAA game. Definitely, it's a AA game. Like it's fully voiced. The banter between Zhao and the God of Death, because he's traveling with you, like is really funny. Like it just feels natural. I don't know. It's good. Like I'm haven't beat it yet. I can't final score it, but it's for $20. This is if you're a fan of Metroidvanias, you won't waste your money checking this out. And this is just I found this funny. So when we did the press thing for this, they have like a Q&A where people can ask different questions or stuff. And I had asked a question about the hairstyles because as we know, y'all know I'm black, but black
what,
fucking
really?
Characters. Oh, I know, right? It's fucking crazy that nigga is black. Look. But
no. Hold on a minute. Wait. Hold on a minute.
No. The Killmonger, right? We done been cursed with the Killmonger cut in every video game. If you're a black character, that's what you get. Well, in this, they worked really hard to not have that. So you have this, because it's an African... story. So you have all sorts of hairstyles that are absolutely beautiful and intricate and colorful, like vibrant. Like the colors in this game definitely pop. But it's funny because they said they made sure that they did not put the Killmonger cut on any of the characters. Like they could do better, is what they said. So and they did. And I hope that other artists can take the time, because damn it, we got more than sad dreads. Like my God. But yeah, $20 Metroidvania. If you like that, if that's your genre, definitely check this out, because you will not be disappointed. Besides that, I've played a lot of Fallout 76. I know I talked about that last week. It's funny because I thought I was going to be late anyway getting here, because I lost track of time because I was playing it earlier. We were raiding something to get, looking for some better gear with some people online. That game is really solid. Like I played it when it first came out back in 2018, and it was rough, as a lot of folks know. But they, and I don't think I've messed with it since then, for real, but they have definitely put a lot into it, and it shows. Like, it's really fun. It's just basically a Fallout experience in multiplayer. I think the problem before was that you can fight other people, but there you can turn that off now. So if you don't want to engage in that, you can turn that off altogether. And I don't think that there was any... like storyline in the game, so
there wasn't
NPCs
any NPCs
around.
At the beginning, right?
Yeah, yep, exactly, that's what it was. There weren't any NPCs in there, so that's now different. It's the Fallout experience. So there's NPCs, there's side quests that you're running for different people, you're cleaning this up, you're all this stuff. So it's a full Fallout experience now, just online, so with other people. So if you might need help to take down this Deathclaw or this alpha super mutant or this honey beast, those things are horrific. Fuck. These bees that got mutated and they crawl around on the ground and they shoot swarms of bees at you is fucking awful. But yeah, they've done a lot, and it's really good. It's on Game Pass, worth checking out. Just went off sale. I think it was like $8. And I'm mad because I saw Fallout 4 was on sale for the Game of the Year edition that had all the DLC. It was $10. And I was like, oh, I'll get it. Don't you know that sale ended and it's $31.99 now. So I'm not going to get that. I'm going to wait because, no, I'll wait for it to get back.
I got it. I had all that DLC and I've got it installed. I'm going to play it when the patch drops this week.
Yep, that's what I was gonna pick it up for. So now I'm just gonna play, the basic the base version, so I won't mess with the DLC. But next time it gets on sale, I'm gonna grab it. But I am curious to see what the XS upgrade looks like that they gave it, because the 76 doesn't have that. It has a frame boost, so it runs at 60, which is nice. But it didn't get the full.
I mean, if you just put it on the
smack.
PS5, it'll run better.
Oh yeah, that's what I heard. Yeah, that's all it takes. You get a couple of frames from doing that, a couple
You get a
pixels.
blade of grass or something.
I think you got to be a pirate game for that to work.
Is that what it is?
No, it
that,
doesn't have to be a pirate. It could be a ghost game. It can be what would you call Pentiment? Like a talkie game.
Like a painting
or a
about yeah,
rhythm or a
medieval
rhythm action
paintings.
game.
Yeah. Crazy.
Like, all you gotta do is just put it on the PlayStation, and PlayStation magic happens. It's like magic.
Oh man, they about to copyright that PlayStation Magic. They
It
got the
is.
spectral engines and all that stuff. Yeah. Oh my
Magic.
goodness.
That extra frame makes, yeah, holy shit.
Bruh, I know we're gonna talk about that, but that whole thing. Oh
It
my
happens
God.
every time. Every time it like people get mad when I say like I think Digital Foundry stuff is cool. Like the technical part of it, that stuff is cool.
I do too. I
But
think it
like
is, yeah.
nobody uses it for that. They use it for this conversation like, well, Xbox is crap because their games are better on the PlayStation. I'm like,
Yep.
quantify your statement. Like okay, so it performs better. What are you getting? What are you getting that you would have noticed had Digital Foundry not put a video out?
Right.
I want you to tell me. Oh, wait.
And they can't.
You can't? Okay.
They'll just quote whatever they put in the video. And what's wild is because, and that's why I just feel like that, yes, what Digital Foundry does, like you said, it's cool stuff, but like they do more harm than good for real. Because we didn't have these problems when there was multi-platform games. Like they didn't, there nobody was dissecting them and put it, well, this runs like this and that does this. And nobody, well, I guess social media actually is the culprit of that. We didn't have that. So there wasn't anybody going online and saying, well, you shouldn't get this because this grass or this pixel don't do this on this, but it do it on PlayStation or whatever. This
Well,
shit is crazy.
back in the
Just play the
day,
game.
like I've seen a lot of people talk about this, and there was a video, shout out to a guy named MVG on Twitter. Like he does these like technical videos of like things that have changed. He was talking about like the N64 PS1 era. When there was a game on both of those consoles, they were very different because the architecture of those hardwares were very different. PlayStation 5 and the Xbox Series X are kind of the same goddamn computer in a box.
True. True.
Like
I get
you look at two games on that, on both of those systems, 99% of that game is going to be exactly the same on both machines. Like
Yeah.
N64 and PlayStation, man, there was a whole different ball game when a game was on both systems on those hardwares.
That's true. I mean, because there was different controllers. There was, yeah, that's true. There was a lot, so they had to build stuff. Yeah, that is a good
Yeah, they had
point.
to build it
Whereas,
specifically for that hardware as opposed to just like, oh, these things are pretty similar. So it's essentially like Ryan's got a PC that has exactly the same specs as my PC, it's just different parts. That's essentially what it
exactly.
is.
That's what I was about to say. That's all it is, and people are going crazy about that. I think it's more because it's a Microsoft game and they like, oh well, why would they let it perform better on the PlayStation?
I mean, it is a bad look.
No,
That's not a lie. Like,
I mean it definitely is, but I just I don't
if
know.
Burger King made a Big Mac and it tastes better than McDonald's, then McDonald's got a problem. Like, let's just be fair.
Is true. This is very true. I mean, fucking ice cream machine works at Burger King too, so I mean you might as well go over there and get your Big Mac. You know what I mean?
The Big King, that's what it's
The
called.
Big King. I was gonna say, didn't they have a Big Mac
They
for a little? The
did. They
Big King.
legitimately had a Big
Yup.
Mac. It was called the Big King.
Yup, I remember. I remember. Okay, I'm sure we're gonna get back to this Xbox that later in the news. Finish it up real quick. So Fallout stuff, yes. Remnant 2. I played some Remnant 2. That still remains a good game. I picked up Metal Gear Solid Peace Walker. Haven't started it yet, but I did pick that up. Going to start that up probably today. It was like $8.99. And I played some more Warhammer, Chaos Gate, I had to lower the difficulty and start over because that game got hard as balls, and I wasn't even that far into it. I'm like, oh,
You
y'all doing a
can't change the
lot.
difficulty mid-game?
No, it's like XCOM. You can't, once you like start the game, like you stuck at that difficulty, which is weird, actually. I don't know why I said it's like, because you could do that in Marvel, what was it,
You should
Midnight
be able to
Suns.
do that in any game. I've never understood why you can't change difficulty mid-game in most games. It's such a weird oversight.
You couldn't do it in Chaos Gate, so I had to start over and put it on easy because they was rocking my shit. Played some Helldivers, of course, because we always have to fight for freedom and liberty. And I feel like that's all it that I can talk about. There's, yeah. Yeah, that's it. Okay.
All right, we'll move on to the woman.
All right. So, I mean, with the exception of like the little bullshit that I play here and there, I played a decent amount more Dragon's Dogma 2. The game is still excellent, and I really enjoy it. I can't wait to get back into it here after I finish my review game. I did not actually, crazily enough, play Helldivers this week, but only because I didn't really have time to play much of anything. So that sucks, but it's fine because I know as soon as I log back in, I'll have all my rewards from the major orders. So,
Yep, which is awesome.
yeah. Let's see. Played some Dragon Quest II because I'm back on my bullshit as always. And I decided I'm just going to go through that game again. All right, so yeah, I guess nothing else except for Top Spin 2K25, which I'm playing for review. Comes out for early access on Tuesday, comes out for everybody else on Friday.
Tennis.
So what's that?
Tennis.
Yeah, tennis. It is it's a tennis game. No, it's I don't know if you guys played Top Spin 4.
What was
It
that
was a
on? What was that?
PlayStation 3. I think it came out in, I don't know, 2008, 2009, maybe 2011.
Christ, has it been that long since the Top Spin game?
It has been,
Jeez. I think
Holy
the last one I
shit.
played might have been Top Spin 3. I don't think I played 4.
Yeah, so 4 was the last one in the series. It came out here, let's just look so we can be
I was literally doing that myself. It was
accurate. March
March
15th,
15th.
2011.
Man.
So, 2011, it was PlayStation Move compatible.
Oh,
In
yeah.
case anybody wanted to know that. No, so the reason I referenced Top Spin 4 is not only was it the last Top Spin game that was released, but this game also shares a base with that game. So the base way the game plays is like Top Spin 4. And so just like you would expect from any tennis game, it's very timing based. But the nice thing they have in this one that they didn't have in the last one is a meter that shows you what the timing is. So that you know, instead of just getting like good or perfect or too soon or too late feedback, you actually can see on the meter whether you released the swing button at the right time or not, which
Nice.
definitely helps. Outside of that, it's in terms of the actual gameplay, it's got all the stuff you would expect. You can do, if you just tap the shot button, you can do what they call control shots, where it just what it sounds like, you have more control over the ball, but they're less powerful. If you hold it down until this red power meter fills up, you can do a power shot, which again, just like it sounds, is more powerful, but you have less control over it. And then if you hold the button down for a little bit, but not all the way until the power or meter charges, you do a normal shot, which has a balance between control and power. Outside of that, you've got five different shot types. So you've got your flat shot, your normal tennis shot. You've got a cut shot, which is, you know, it puts backspin on the ball, makes it fly a little lower. You've got a lob shot so that you can lob balls, presumably, hopefully, over your opponent's head. You've got a topspin shot, which, just what it sounds like, puts topspin on the ball so that you can, you know, try to cut to the different corners with the ball. And then you've got a drop shot, which is a shot that you try to make drop right over the net, basically. So if your opponent's playing back on the baseline, you can play a drop shot to try to force them up to the net, either to get them to miss it and make a mistake, or so that you can follow it up with a shot that passes them and you know, scores. Within those, obviously, there's different variations on them depending on whether you're using a control shot or a power shot. And then you have different volley types as well. So volleys are where you hit the ball before it hits the ground. So like you, if you rush the net and hit a ball before it hits the ground, that's a volley shot. And you can do similar things there. You've got power volley shots, control volley shots, and a drop volley shot there for those. And then you've got, you know, fatigue. So if a rally goes on too long, depending on what your player's stamina stat is, you can run out of stamina, which makes your shots less powerful, less able to be controlled, and it makes you slower, obviously, in trying to get to the ball. So that plays into the new these play styles that they have. So they have four different play styles that you can make your character be, or your tennis player. So you've got serve and volley, which basically is just what it sounds like. Your serves are really good, and then you rush the net and play volley shots to try to win. You got a baseline defense player, which basically is a high control player. Fast, good stamina, high control. You got a baseline offense player, which is your Serena Williams player, like very strong shot, strong serve. Your goal is to try to, you know, overpower your opponent, basically. And then you got an all around player that's just what it sounds like. You don't have any one major strength, but you're pretty good at everything. So there's a balance there. Like if you're a power player, you got to try to conserve your stamina because you're not going to have enough stamina, or you're not going to have as much stamina as a defender. So you got to make sure that you end volleys early or end rallies early, right? You want to make sure that you win a point within a couple shots. Whereas if you're a defensive player, you want to drag the rally out as long as you can because you're tiring out your opponent. Not just for this point, but for the next point too. So there's balance to how you want to attack the your opponent depending on what style they are and what style you are. So it's pretty deep in terms of like the on-court strategy, which is really good and something that Topspin's been good at for a long time. In terms of the stuff to do, number one, there's a really good tutorial. The tutorial is narrated by John McEnroe, but they do like, because they know that not everybody knows anything about tennis, so they do like a video explainer first of what they're going to teach you, and then you can practice it. So it's good because if you don't really understand the terminology or you don't really understand the like strategic concepts that they're explaining, they're going to show them to you before they make you practice it. So that's helpful. It's got a career mode where you create your own player, and the career mode's similar to what you've seen in other games, career modes. I'd say it's a little bit more bare bones than most career modes. It reminds me, it's, I guess, slightly less bare bones version, or a slightly more bare bones version of Road to the Show. It's not like an NBA 2K career mode where it's basically a movie that you also play basketball in. It's much more, you know, it's, you know, this week, here's what you can do. You can do a training to get your experience up. You can play in a special event, and you can play in a tournament, right? And so you can decide whether to play all of them or to rest if your energy meter is getting too low. So you have to manage your energy meter, you know, move up in the rankings, basically, is the purpose. So it's relatively simplistic, but it's kind of what you would expect for a tennis game career mode. Does have local multiplayer, which is a lot of fun. I played several games yesterday with my son. We had a good time playing local multiplayer. You can play solo local multiplayer. You can also add in AI. So if you want to play doubles, you can have two human controlled players and two AI controlled players, either on the same team or on opposite teams. So we did some of that yesterday. The AI has, I think, six different difficulties. From, you know, beginner all the way up to, I can't remember what the top difficulty is now off the top of my head, but I think there's six different ones. It's the game plays great. There are some times where it feels like you could, like, oh, I could have got to that ball, or you think that you're going to get to a ball and your character is going to swing, but because the game, like, knows that you wouldn't be able to hit the ball, it doesn't even let you swing, which can be a little frustrating, because it's like, just let me just do what I'm telling you to do with the input, even if it doesn't make sense in the context of your, like, animation system, or even if it, you know, even if I'm gonna miss, let me swing. And the game doesn't really do that. It's only really gonna let your character swing if you're gonna hit the ball. Which once you get used to it is fine. But it is a little annoying. I feel like I would rather be able to swing at a ball that I'm not going to be able to hit. It's silly, because either way, I'm not going to be able to hit the ball, whether I swing or don't swing, but there's just something in my brain that breaks when I hit the swing button and he doesn't swing. Instead of my brain going, oh yeah, I wouldn't have been able to get to that ball, it says, why didn't you swing? Even if I was swinging at nothing. So I do think that's a little weird, takes some getting used to, but I think people will get used to it pretty quick. This game does have virtual currency. The virtual currency is not used to level up your character, which is good. It's not like NBA 2K in that sense. It's used for cosmetics. It's used to, for example, if you want to do a... this part does kind of suck. If you want to do a reset of your attributes, so once you've created your attributes, you do have to spend virtual currency to reassign them. If you decide you don't like the way you've built your character, which that's kind of shady, I think. I think they should allow you to unlock through normal gameplay a attribute reset. I'm trying to think. Oh, there is a battle pass. So it's called the Center Court Pass. I don't know how much they're going to be. I'll have to dig into the material that we were given to see if it says how much they're going to be, because the version they sent us for review has them all unlocked. So I don't know how much it would cost. I'll have to look that up and see if I can get that answer before my review. But it does have a battle pass. The battle pass is basically what you would think it is. You've got you earn season pass points, basically, as you do different things in the game. Those things level you up tiers. As you level up tiers, you unlock, you know, new tennis rackets, new, you know, XP boosts. You level up, you know, different clothing and what you call customization stuff. You unlock virtual currency. So there's a decent amount of stuff in the battle pass. There's going to be six over the course of the game, and they don't expire. So like Helldivers, you can go back and fill out old battle passes. Even if the new one, even if the game has sort of moved on to the new one, which is nice. Trying to think of what else to say about it. Probably not much else to say at this point. I've got a lot of stuff to still play. I have not had a chance to play it online yet. There's three different online modes. There's exhibition matches online where you can play, you know, against another player. They're all quick play at this point. They do not have the option at this point to play a private match against a friend online. They're supposed to be adding that in before the end of May. But if that's a consideration for you in terms of whether to buy the game or not, it is not there on day one. So if you expect to be able to, you know, if you're going to buy this game with a friend of yours and play them online in a private match, do not buy this game until later on, because they're not going to add that in until the end of May.
That is so weird that in 2024 it doesn't launch with, man.
I agree. It's super weird. I don't really understand that piece of it. World Tour is like you can play online tournaments with your My Player character and, you know, go up the leaderboard, basically. There's usually, you know, a couple tournaments there that you can play that are themed around actual tournaments that are happening soon in real life. And then there's a 2K, what's it called? 2K Tour, where you can play online, but you're playing in ranked matches with pro players, not with your create a player. There's, I'll say, a decent roster of pros, and they claim that they're going to be adding more pro players over the next several weeks and months, and that any pro player they play will be free once they add them. They're not going to add them as paid content. They'll be free for everybody once they add them. As of right now, I think there's 25 pro players across men and women. There's more women than men, but the total, I think, is about 25. Most of the people you would expect to see there, you know, Roger Federer, Serena, they're there, right? So, you know, Andy Murray, and then there's some legends too: Pete Sampras, John McEnroe, Maria Sharapova, Andre Agassi are in there as well. So there's a mix of current players and legends. And again, they're supposed to be adding more tennis players as we move on with the game. Trying to think if there's anything else. I think that's pretty much it for now. I'll be working on my review to get that out hopefully next week, and I'll include anything else that I come across, as well as hopefully some pricing on the season pass. But overall, I mean, if you like tennis, it's nice. It's just nice to have a good tennis game again.
I'm trying to think of the last tennis game that came out, Topspin or not.
No, so the last tennis game that came out was, hold on, I'll tell you the name of it. It's going to take me just a second. So there's been a couple, like, super generic tennis games, but AO Tennis.
I remember AO Tennis.
AO Tennis 2 was the last one that came out in 2020. It's not great. It's fine. But it's not great for sure. Outside of that, I mean, there's been some, you know, like there's a halfway decent, VR tennis game on, Oculus whose name is escaping me now. It might just be called VR Tennis. I don't remember what it's called, but, it's halfway decent. But no, I mean, other than that, you know, they stopped making Virtua Tennis games in 2011 too.
I was about to say, Virtua. Sega, it's time for a not just Virtua Tennis, but don't forget about Sega and Superstars All-Star Tennis.
Yeah.
I need that back.
Well, we did get a Mario Tennis not too long ago. So.
We did, but it wasn't as good.
I guess that was 6 years ago now.
Yeah, but it still wasn't as good as, like, The 64 Mario Tennis is the fucking bomb.
Yeah, agreed. So yeah, I think that's really it. Again, I'll have some more thoughts on it in my review, but for now, that should be enough to let people make a decision. Oh, I forgot EA came out with a tennis game.
Really?
Grand Slam Tennis and Grand Slam Tennis 2. Actually, that's the most recent big publisher tennis game
How was EA?
before this one.
Yeah, I
Yeah.
played that.
Grand Slam Tennis 2 in 2012.
I was place it was still places. I thought AO Tennis was on Xbox One and
Well, no.
PS4.
That's what I'm saying, but that was made by Big Ant Studios. Like I'm talking about
Oh.
major publisher tennis games. There's been plenty of like Maximum Games Tennis World Tour. Like there's been all sorts of games like that.
Dude,
What
if
I'm talking
Max.
about
Ugh.
is actual like big publisher, big developer tennis games. The last ones were Top Spin 4, Virtua Tennis 4, and this Grand Slam Tennis 2.
Oh, Grand Slam Tennis 2 is on the Xbox Marketplace, but you can't buy it. You can try a demo.
Yeah, I never played that one.
Yeah. You can try it,
But
but you can't buy it.
yeah. Well, this one comes out, like I said, for early access on Tuesday, and it's good. So if you've been waiting on a tennis game, this might be your option here.
This is
Although I
full
will say
price, right?
it is full priced and not just full price. Like they have big fucking edition too.
$120 is the big addition.
Yes, that's the edition that includes the all six battle passes and some other like what do you call it? Cosmetic swag.
Swag.
Yeah. So, but I will say it doesn't look great. I mean, it looks fine, but it definitely doesn't look as good as like NBA. And you would expect it to look better because there you don't have as many people on the court. It looks fine, but it definitely doesn't look great. It doesn't look the way you would expect a sports game to look in 2025, and that may be a that may be partly because they're building it on top of the Top Spin 4 engine, but yeah, it doesn't look great. And there's no one another big bummer after several really, really good entries in NBA and MLB The Show. There is no facial capture. So, like those games, you can take a picture of your face. They have an app, right, where it basically takes a picture of your face and then builds it in the game. That technology has come a long way. And in MLB The Show and NBA, it works amazingly well. This game doesn't have that. You have to build custom faces just like you would in a normal character creator.
All
But that's it.
right. Well, let's see here. So I can wrap this up. I played quite a little bit of Harold Halibut. That is an interesting game.
I haven't even started it yet.
I'm trying to think of the best way to describe it. So it's like it's a fixed camera. And you almost walk on like a 2.5D plane where you can kind of like go in and out of the background, but you really only go left and right. The art style is striking. It's very much like a Wallace and Gromit kind of claymation style of characters. It's not quite as much a like point and click adventure game as much as it is like a walk around, talk to people, and solve some puzzles kind of game.
Okay.
It has a very interesting story where like the people on this place were like they're not on Earth, like they shipped somewhere to try to survive because I guess like the world was being destroyed or something, and they're like on this water planet. And there seems to be some fuckery going on, because like there's a scene where you have to feed the fish, and like a fish swims by the screen with a sign that says "We are free in here."
What?
So like I don't know if the fish are like intelligent or some shit. I don't know.
What
okay.
kind of fuckery is this?
It's right.
There's some fuckery in here.
It's a weird ass game. I'm not gonna lie, but it's really well done. Like the voice acting is really good. The dialogue is really good. It controls fairly well. It's a very slower paced game. A lot of dialogue and chatting with people. It's very British. It's kind of got that like that British tone of humor. It's actually pretty good. I don't know how I feel about it, really. Like, it's an interesting game, but I don't know if I love it or if I'm just, like, intrigued by the visual style and kind of how fucking weird it is.
That's where I was with it. Like, I thought it looked really cool. I haven't played it yet, but I installed it solely on just the look. I was like, damn, this looks cool. You know what, though? I forgot. I did play something I can talk about, which is kind of the same. No Rest for the Wicked launched in Early Access.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that game. That's the new game from the Ori guys. Right?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, and it has a beautiful art style. Like, it looks so unique. Like, the characters are not, like, the typical, body types. Like, they're just, I don't know, they just look weird. I don't know. It's very unique. Weird is different. It's just very unique. It's very catching, eye-catching. But, woo, we need some optimization. Because, damn, my computer... I have a fucking Intel i9 processor with a 3070, I think. And like, I am stuttering, like, don't know what. Like, that game,
Early access, so.
It is, yeah. So, and I mean, I'm not, obviously, because, yeah, I'm going to review it, but I mean, we're not going to review it based on this, obviously. So we'll be in it for the long haul, apparently. But yeah, it's got some rough patches. Now, what they're doing is cool. It is a Souls, kind of like a Souls game. It's like a mashup between like a Diablo action RPG and Souls stuff. So when you swing your weapon and you dodge, there's a stamina bar there. I feel like the stamina right now, again, it's early access, and I think they've already pushed out like a couple of hot fixes based on, you know, complaints and stuff, but like they take away too much stamina for the hits. You can only hit something like one time, and if you're lucky, you can dodge before like you don't have any stamina left. Like, it's not balanced. Like, it's rough. Like, I see where they're going, like what they want to get to, and I'm here for it. Like, I think once they get there, I think it'll be dope. Kind of this fusion of action RPG from the isometric view with the kind of the more lower kind of tactical combat from the Souls games. And I think this is less of the Souls games combat, and it is more kind of tactical, because I haven't really. And again, I'm super early, but I haven't gotten to a point where I'm like overwhelmed. It's always been kind of like me and two other enemies, maybe, or just even one-on-one. But just the stamina draw from every action, even blocking, takes so much stamina. Is like, damn, I'm be in this fight for an hour just because, like, you know, I can only hit him one time, then I got to rest up. Like, it's crazy. So. I'll talk about it more, you know, as we get on, but I did want to mention that I did actually play that, and it does very beautiful art style. It's kind of cool and went with what you were talking about, but go ahead. Sorry, my man.
No, you're fine. Like, I don't have a whole lot to talk about. So also I just have to sigh every time I hear a roguelike or Souls.
I know.
Or just...
Yeah, it's everything. It's
I'm
everything.
I'm waiting.
It is.
I'm legitimately waiting on sports games to adapt the Souls or roguelike things, so where, like, you throw an incomplete pass and you gotta start the game over.
Oh shoot, that's probably coming. Somebody it's gonna be a game mode within like Madden or something.
Yeah.
Some sort of a roguelite thing.
If you don't win the Super Bowl, your stats all reset and you got to start from scratch. That sounds fun.
That's what I was thinking too. Like you get like a season or something, like you have to run, and like if you don't make it to the playoffs or you don't get like some sort of milestone, like all your stats go back to one. Like you got to start all over. Like, oh, that does not sound fun. Not gonna lie.
I don't understand how that's fun in other games. I know I'm the outlier. Like a lot of people are like, I love Souls games. Like I ain't got time for this bullshit.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just let me play the game. Just let me go forward. I don't want to go backward.
I feel you.
I played a little bit of Mortal Kombat 1 this week because Air Mac is out there. He's pretty fun to play. That game is still, what the fuck are we doing? I don't know. I don't even play the invasions anymore, like the season stuff. Like I don't even play it.
Oh, I forgot that's what that was tied to. The season stuff was the invasions.
Yeah, that's like, this is the season of the storms, and I'm like every time they do a trailer or like a one of their combat casts for it, I was like, I don't give a fuck.
Mm-hmm.
Like, tell me what, like, are you going to shorten the grind to unlock stuff? Because I want to see all the brutalities and fatalities. Nope, you're not doing that? Okay, I don't care.
Man.
And then, like, they put these sweet-ass Deadly Alliance skins in the store that are, like, $6 a piece. I'm like, get the fuck out of here. I'm not paying $6 for a skin. That's more than most characters in other video games.
Yeah, the skin prices are getting at it. Wasn't Street Fighter charging something crazy for skins, too?
Street Fighter skins were stupid. Like, remember when they sold the turtle skins and all they were?
Turtles,
was for
yeah.
The, but they weren't even for the characters. They were for the fucking lobby.
The lobby. Yeah, that's it. Like, that's wild.
It's disgusting, man. And it, you know what? It pisses me off every time I think about it, because when I play Mortal Kombat 1, I'm like, God damn, this plays good. Like,
it does.
Best playing Mortal Kombat in like a decade. And it's wrapped in this just shitty package that I just, ugh. So mad at that game. So mad. I'm also playing El Shaddai, Ascension of the Metatron for the Nintendo Switch. I guess that's coming out pretty soon. Like I played it and I was like, okay, like if you've never played El Shaddai, you need to play it, 'cause it's a fucking amazing game. It's really unlike anything you've ever played. Like especially if you're into stuff like Nier, you should play this game. Like it has that same kind of vibe of like some really weird, like imagine the devil wearing blue jeans. Okay. 'Cause that's what's in this game. Like,
yep.
Like my dude is like, The guy that kind of walks you through the levels and gives you tips and stuff, it's literally the devil. He's wearing, like, a suit, and he has a cell phone, and you play as Enoch. Like, I don't know if most people don't know this, but, like, the story in this game is based around, like, biblical stuff. You play as Enoch, who is, Ryan, correct me if I'm wrong, this is Noah's son, correct?
I don't know. I don't know why you're asking me.
I thought you were religious.
I don't know. I actually am religious and Enoch is a patriarch prior, yes, to Noah's flood.
Okay.
He's the son of,
okay.
Yeah.
That's who I thought he was. Yeah. So yeah. Like the whole task of the game is like there are these seven angels that you have to basically kill. Which is fucked up if you think about it. But like the devil is telling Enoch, like, you gotta go through and kill all these seven angels, and like at the beginning of the game you like release them into the world and then you get to go down and kill them. It's a fucked up game, man.
Well, okay, well, all right then. Yeah, it's wild. That game definitely is wild.
Like the stuff you do in that game is so interesting. It is a fixed camera with like what do you call it, like context sensitive combat, to where like if you just mash the button, you do one combo, but, like, if you tap, like, delay, yep, and then attack, it does do it. Because there's only two buttons. Well, three buttons. Mm-hmm. There's the guard button, the jump button, and the attack button. And you would be surprised how many combos there are in this game with just one attack button. Like, it's crazy. On the Switch, it's fine. I did boot it up on the 360 just to kind of compare it, and I'm going to be real honest with you. I struggle to see which one is better, which is crazy because at this point, I don't know if you know this, the Xbox 360 hardware is 19 years old.
Yeah, I was about to say, ain't it like 20 years old?
Like, that system came out in 2005. So, yeah, I remember playing El Shaddai at PAX before it came out. Like, that's how long ago it was.
Wow, I was the only pre-order at the store. Because, I mean, that title, that was back when you had to pre-order stuff or they, you know, they wasn't going to send it to the store. I was the only person that pre-ordered that game in the store. I was the reason we got it. Like, I was the only one.
Yeah, that game, like, that's one of those games that I tell people, like, if you've not played it, you need to play this game.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really cool that it's coming to, I think it's out already on PC and it's coming to Switch. And
oh, I know it's coming to PC. I might actually get it.
Yeah, I think it's, I'm pretty sure it's already out, or maybe it's coming out soon. I don't know. I can't keep track of all these releases. But yeah, it's definitely a very, very cool game. The Switch version definitely loads faster. Like, going back to the Xbox 360, loading times were fucking atrocious. Oh my god.
I do remember that, yeah.
Like, this motherfucking game had to load tutorial menus. It is wild. Like, it is... Discs, man, they suck. I'm not gonna lie. But yeah, no, this game is super cool if you've never played it. And it's cool that it's coming back. I do wish it was on other stuff. Like, it's weird that it's only on Switch on console side. Like, why is it not everywhere? But I guess it just didn't make monetary sense. Because I don't even remember the people who made this game.
I don't either. That's why, like, you know, that's why I had to pre-order it to get it in. Because it was one of those titles where it was like, you know, under the radar type stuff. Let's see who made this.
Yeah, I'm pulling that up now. It looks like it was made by Sawaki Takeyasu?
Yeah, I don't even know who. But...
God. The music also is unbelievable.
Yes. Music is awesome. Ignition Tokyo was the developer. Who in the world are they?
Also, they call this the HD remaster. It looks the same.
Nice.
Which, it has an art style that it doesn't really matter. Like, it's nice to see it a little clearer. Like, the Switch version is a little higher resolution. Like, it feels like the 360 version's probably running at, like, I don't know, like, less, like, sub 720p. And then, like, I was literally swapping inputs to see, because I started a new game on this on the 360 and was like, well, let me kind of put these side by side. And you can definitely see the Switch version is a little clearer. But the Switch version's, it has like a performance and a graphics mode, but I'm going to be real honest with you, I think they're backwards, because I felt like the graphics mode ran faster than the performance mode. I don't know, I feel like I'm crazy. I don't think either one of them run at 60 though. I don't know, man. We need a new Switch.
Yeah, well, you know, it's on the way.
Sure.
It's on the way.
Yeah. So if you want to kill angels in blue jeans, play El Shaddai. And if that doesn't make you want to play El Shaddai, then I don't even know what's wrong with you.
I don't, right. Like, it's super neat. Like, it is definitely a super neat game.
And I played a bunch of Overwatch because the new season started. And they threw fucking Venture straight into competitive play. And I think that was a mistake. Because everybody picks them, like, on both sides of the game. There are people who are really good with them, which makes for lopsided matches. There are people who are really bad with them, which makes for lopsided matches. Yep. And nobody knows how to play against them, because they're brand new.
Yep.
So, the whole game just feels whacked right now. I can tell you that when people are playing that character very good, they are a menace. Like, this is some shit going on with this character that, I don't know, man. Like, the ultimate is just unbelievable. Like, almost every time that ultimate goes off, like, everybody dies.
What's the range? I saw the video. It looks like it's like a ground pound, like that scissors, like a seismic shockwave forward.
Yeah, and they get four shots.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Okay.
And that shit, like, I've watched it wipe my team so many times. It is crazy.
Damn. Okay. I thought it was just one big, like, AOE kind of blast or whatever.
Oh, no.
Shit.
She gets, they get four bullets, man.
All right.
And it fires, and like, especially if you're in a grav, or if you're in Orisa's ult, or if like you're grouped up, like shields don't block it.
Mm.
It goes through shields. It has a huge range, like width wise, like it's just, it's super wide. I don't know. I feel like that thing needs to be toned down a little bit, because it's just destroying people when it pops up.
Walls? Can you stop it by like a wall or something?
A wall will stop us. If you go around a corner, you can definitely get away from it. Moira's Fade works on it. So like if, and Reaper's Fade, like if you're doing that, it won't hit you. But see, here the thing is, the Fade and Reaper's Fade don't last long enough for four goddamn shots.
Yeah. You have to run with the Fade, basically.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
So it's a Wild West out there right now. There is the new mode, which you can play, which is called Clash.
Rush in Battlefield. You know what that is.
At this point, like, you're making modes for one map. Like, every mode has its own maps, and you just introduced a new mode, like, a season ago, and it literally has one map.
Dag.
Sorry, no, it has two maps. Sorry. No, wait, is that just Junkertown, right? I think. I can't remember, there's too much shit going on. Make some new maps for old modes. Like, stop making new modes. Or fucking bring back 2CP, because there's like five maps sitting out there that ain't nobody using. Stop making a new mode and giving it one map. That's the dumbest shit ever. It's fine.
I mean, it's not, but I got you.
No, I mean, the mode is fine. I was just saying, the mode.
Oh, the mode.
The mode is fine. Also, Blizzard, I swear to Christ, if you do not nerf Orisa, I'm going to come to headquarters, and I'm going to kick you in your ding-ding. I've had enough.
Nail.
I've had enough of, like, you get in a game, and you got, like, a Winston versus a Junker Queen, or you got, like, a D.Va versus a Zarya, like, and you're having fun, and you lose a couple team fights, and then the other tank switches to Orisa, and it stops being fun. Stops being fun.
I can see that.
That tank is so boring, and as soon as somebody switches to it, like, immediately, like, you know how when you're playing a game and something pisses you off and all the fun just gets sucked out of the room? That's exactly what happens when I see that goddamn horse. You gotta change your characters, and if your tank won't swap, well, GG's, my friends, GG's. Because Orisa only has, like, one or two counters. And guess which one of them, guess what one of them is?
Herself.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah, it's another Orisa.
And the problem is Blizzard just listening to the top 500 people. Because top 500 people are like, well, Orisa has like the biggest loss rate in the game. I was like, that's because everybody picks her and then the other team picks her, so she loses at least one of every game.
Right. Like, that would make sense. Like, that math would make sense. This is Ryan. Every day, he like, I thank God for not making me an Overwatch fan.
True story.
Yeah, but eventually all games that you play like this for a long time, you start seeing the fucking seams.
What? That's true.
It pisses you off. Like, if I was just out here playing Mystery Heroes or Quick Play casually, I probably wouldn't care about all this shit. Like, it wouldn't matter to me.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm in the trenches every day. Like, I play these games. And, like, dude, I played a game yesterday where I'm like, it was one of those games where I realized, like, I don't belong here. Because Season 9 destroyed my rank. Like, I could not win a game on support to save my life. I shit you not, I think I went on a run of 40 games where I lost like 35 of them. It was just unbelievable. I fell from Masters all the way down to plat, like low plat. And I've been trying to climb out of it now. And like, I'll get in these games in plat. I was in a game yesterday where I had more kills than both DPS, more damage than both DPS, and more healing than both teams combined. And I want you to know, we lost that game.
Bruh. Yeah, it's rough out there in Overwatch. Jesus. Man.
I just don't understand. Like, I'm playing these games, and I'm playing with these dudes, and I'm just like, I don't understand how the game thinks I should be playing here. And it's not that I think I'm God's gift to Overwatch. Like, I feel like I belong in mid-diamond, low masters. Like, those are where the games are really fun for me. Like, you put me in gold and plat games, and I'm just like, either my team is just moronic, or we just steamroll them, like, 50 to 60% of the time. Now, there are some pretty good games I get into every now and then where, like, you going into overtime, that shit's some good stuff.
Yeah.
But that shit doesn't happen as much nearly as it did when I was in, like, Diamond and Masters. Like, those games were fun. Like, when you get in a game with Grandmasters and Top 500 sometimes, that shit's fun. I got
fun for you.
I got fucking Genji over here running into a Winston. I'm like, what are you doing?
Showing off his skin, probably. But, I got this, guys.
I hear him, like, you hear the sound cue for him, like, triggering his blade. He's like, and then he's dead.
And he's dead.
Because Winston just, like, was like, what are you doing?
Yep.
Like, you can't deflect my shots. I just killed you. Oh, my God. I can't, man. Drives me crazy.
Oh, man.
And I swear to God, if anybody tweets at me on Twitter, like, you should just quit the game, man, it's been 8 years. I can't quit it.
At this point,
you're going to have to put me in, like, a methadone clinic to get off of Overwatch.
I don't think methadone helps with Overwatch.
You don't know.
Oh.
You know what could get you off Overwatch?
Play
some fucking Helldivers with us.
Man,
that could, yeah.
I did play Helldivers with you. It totally did not get me off Overwatch. You're just trying to get me to trade one addiction for another. You ain't no better than me on Helldivers. Like, you sit and think about it all the time.
That's true. I do.
we just like different.
But the difference is, I don't hate Helldivers.
You have only played it for less than a year. Give it time, Ryan. Give it time.
By year eight, you're gonna be just like him. Man, these fucking bugs, man.
I sounded just like you the first 2 years of Overwatch. I was like, this is the greatest thing I ever did. I want to play this every day. This is my favorite game ever. And here I am, year eight, smoking a cigarette with like a 1,000-yard stare, like.
That picture of Ben Affleck smoking a cigarette with his hand on his head. Oh, that's you.
That's me playing Overwatch, and I'm just like, let's go.
Oh, that's funny.
I'm queuing up for ranked. Let's go. Anyway, that's enough talk about that. Yeah, there's a couple other games that I can't talk about yet, but hopefully next week we'll talk about those. What's coming out? Let's talk about what's coming out. We're finally getting back into some decent-sized releases this week. Xbox Series X, PlayStation 5, we got Construction Simulator Gold Edition. Ayuden Chronicle 100 Heroes, that Suikoden game.
Yeah.
It's on Game Pass, so I'm going to check it out.
Yeah, me too.
Hammerwatch 2, Lunar Lander Beyond. Ermac is dropping an MK1 for people who didn't pay for the big stupid edition. MX vs. ATV Legends 2024 Monster Energy Supercross Edition. Hey, Christ. Remnant 2, The Forgotten Kingdom. New DLC dropping for that. Tales of Kinzera Zao, which we talked about earlier. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Arcade Wrath of the Mutants.
Oh, I heard about that.
Yeah. talk about it next week. Top Skin
2.
Top Spin 2K25 Grand Slam Edition. Rat Rinth. Another crab.
So the Grand Slam edition is the $120
Yeah,
buff
early
edition.
access edition. Yep. Another Crab's Treasure, which is that Souls game. It's coming to Game Pass.
I want to play that. I'm curious.
I'm laughing my ass off because Fallout 4 is on this list, but it's not. It's just
oh,
a patch.
The update. Why does that count as a release?
I don't know. Wrath Aeon of Ruin coming to consoles. Horrific Xanatorium, Sandland, and the Ramsey. Megaton Wusashi W Wired. That's a hell of a name.
Yeah, for sure.
Saga Emerald Beyond and Sea of Thieves Premium Edition for PlayStation. And is there anything else? Clash of Heroes 1 and 2? Isn't that a mobile game?
I don't know. Clash of Clans.
Clash
is
of Clans.
Oh,
is.
Clash of Clans is. Okay, so there's three versions. There's Clash of Heroes 1 and 2, Complete Edition. Clash of Heroes 2G, Remastered Edition. And Clash of Heroes Anniversary Edition.
Yeah, I don't know what that is. I've never heard of that.
I don't either. The Talos Principle 2. Whisker Waters is on here again. And Stellar Blade is your big release for the week.
Stellar Blade.
Stellar Blade. So you can watch the ladder slides, butt jiggles. PlayStation 4, there's nothing on there that is not on PS5. And then Xbox, we're getting another Airy game. Because we need another one of those. This one's called Cyber City.
I don't know what those are.
Dude, they're literally just like you fly through an environment and it tells you a story.
Oh, okay.
I shit you not. There are probably 20 of these games.
Yeah, so ever since you mentioned that like a couple weeks ago, like I have realized or noticed that you're right, they come out all the time. When you look at the new release list on Xbox, I always see an Airy game and I'm like, what the fuck? Like, yeah, they release all the time.
I wish there was like a Wikipedia that showed you all the games. I was trying to find that now. Yep, I found it. Hold on. Here is just, and I think these games started coming out in like 2020, maybe? December of 2019 was the first game. There are 17 games.
That is insane. Lord.
I mean, I guess if it's just flying around and telling a story, it's probably pretty easy to make.
I mean, right. Yeah, but do you need to make 17 of them?
No. You probably didn't need to make one.
Like, are they... Is I want to know if somebody's buying them.
That's the
I'm
real
sure somebody
question.
Somebody is, otherwise they wouldn't be making them.
I mean, maybe dude's just got infinite money and he just likes to make flying bird games. I don't know.
Maybe.
All right.
If I had infinite money, it's not what I do, but...
I mean... Nintendo Switch, Risky Chronicles and the Curse of Destiny, Dadish 3D,
Risky Chronicles,
Builder Simulator, Insurmountable, Puss in Boots, Perfect Adventures, Did I break you with that
one? No, I just don't know. I don't know what to say about a Puss in Boots game in the year of our Lord.
There's nothing to say.
Adventure Bar Story, Cape's Escape Game 8th Room, Cats Hidden in Italy.
Cats Hidden in Italy. Huh?
Yeah, there's like a whole series of these games where
they're hidden cats. I've
hidden
seen them
cats,
before.
Yeah. Dash and Roll. Oh, fuck. I gotta play this next one. Dr. Cat.
Oh, alright.
I hope it's like a serious.
Don't get your surgery done by Dr. Cat. That happened to a friend of mine, and it was a real disaster.
I hope to God it's like a serious simulator where the cat is the doctor and you gotta perform surgery or some shit. Like, that would be epic.
My guess is it's a Dr. Mario clone that also happens to have a cat in it.
Okay, now I gotta look it up. Dr. Cat game. It's on Steam. It's a slide puzzle.
Oh, okay. Goddamn slide puzzle. I don't know how. I mean, slide puzzles were like the worst you could get for free at the dentist when we were kids. And now all of a sudden, it's like everybody's got to come up with a slide puzzle game on Steam.
That's what all of us that were getting those slide puzzles at the dentist office were like, now we got to torture a new generation.
Yeah. That's what it is. Yeah.
Epic's collection handheld escape game, The Dr. Mouse's Lab. There's like a theme this week with cat and mouses. It's crazy. Five Nights of Nightmare Escape Horror Story. Hidden Cats in New York. All right, we get two in 1 week. Home Office Simulator, Ayame Life Sim.
Come on, man.
I just thought he was going to say Home Office Cats, and I was going, oh, wow, okay. A lot of cats this week.
Home Office Cat Simulator.
I'd play that. I'd totally play that. With the cat smashing on the keyboard.
Yeah, that's what it would be, too, yeah.
Library of Ruina. Minesweeper Million. Our Field Trip Adventure. Purple Slime Production Line.
Oh.
I'm sorry. I saw this one a couple of games ago. It just made Romance MD Always on Call.
The Love Doctor. Oh, shoot.
SOL Search
better
of Light.
Than the cat doctor, I guess.
Yeah.
That's true.
Oh, no, that latest AVGN threw me off where he's like the horse prince. I don't know, that's fucked up.
I saw that picture and I was like, the devil?
Yeah, it's a horse with a anime head.
Yeah, I was like, that's wild.
Tiered, The Eerie Surroundings, Demon Slayer, Kimetsu no Yaiba, Sweep the Board. Dracula versus Monsters.
Oh. Well, self-hating Dracula.
Yeah. Revita, Tell Me Your Story, Tales from the Underrealm, Hazel, and finally Zombies, Aliens, and Guns. Man.
All right.
Sweet.
I'm sorry. Oh, all right, let's do some news.
To be fair, that pretty much describes video gaming in like 2008 to 2013.
Oh, Zombies, Aliens, and Guns, yeah.
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 Also, the Oxford comma would help here because it's Zombies, comma, Aliens, and Guns.
The aliens have guns. The zombies do not.
Yeah.
They don't need them. Yeah.
Alright, Ghost of Tsushima, Director's Cut, PC requirements revealed. The Icky Island expansion features crossplay between PS4 and PC.
Oh, that's cool.
Tsushima DC will be the first title, which supports the new PlayStation overlay, which includes your friends list, trophy settings, and your profile. It's crazy, man. PlayStation gonna be doing PC games. What will the fanboys do?
Yeah. Oh, Lord.
What happens when they announce their first game day and date on PC and PlayStation? And I'm not talking about Helldivers. I'm talking about like a first party like single player game. What are they gonna do?
You know they're gonna lose their mind.
Yeah.
You know they are.
They gonna sell their PlayStation. Like, well, here's my GameStop receipt where I traded in my PlayStation 5. Because why would I have one?
People are so pathetic.
You ain't lying, man.
Supreme loser behavior.
Yeah, hashtag loser behavior. Nintendo will not be attending Gamescom this year. Huh, I wonder why. It's because they ain't got no games because they're launching a new system.
That's what that is.
They're going to be like, in December or January, they're going to be like, listen here, bitches. Here's the new Switch. You're going to buy it.
I want to see Nintendo come on one of their streams and start it with, listen here, bitches.
Me too. That's why I giggled. That would be dope. Listen here, bitches. This listen is coming here. Out. You're going to buy it. You know you are.
Yeah. Like, they don't even have to say it. They don't have to sell it. They just got to be like, here it comes. And they'll be like, okay. Show me the pre-order page. I'll buy it.
Yep. I am on the next Switch.
Yeah, 100%. Like, you don't even have to quit. Like, they don't even have to show nothing. They can just say, here it is, and I'll be like, okay.
Yep.
Yep.
Oh, Nintendo. The opening of the Donkey Kong Country at Universal Studios Japan has been delayed to 2024. It was previously scheduled to release this spring. We got us a new Game Pass drop. We need the Beastie Boys sound effect in here. Drop! Orcs Must Die 3.
That's pretty good.
EA Sports NHL 24. Ayuden Chronicle 100 Heroes. Have a Nice Death. Another Crab's Treasure. And Manor Lords.
I'm excited for Manor Lords.
Remember when you got free games every month on Xbox?
Dude. Yeah, those were good old days.
Yeah, now we got that Game Pass Core. This is the first update that I think I've announced for this. You get three games.
Okay.
You get Deep Rock Galactic. You get Super Hot. Mind Control Delete.
Super Hot is a great game.
And you get
absolutely.
And you get Wreckfest.
I will say, though, I think Super Hot is a better game in VR.
Yes. Oh, for sure.
It's so good in VR. Man.
It's perfectly made for VR.
Mm-hmm.
But how sad is it that we went from getting two games a month to getting three games a year?
Yeah, that's
not great.
It's not a good look.
Nope.
Not a good look at all.
But at least we're not talking about how shitty games with gold are every month, I guess.
Yeah.
That was the win for them. Like, well, at least we don't have to hear this shit every month.
Yeah. Hammer Watch 2 launches April 23rd. Athenian Rhapsody launches May 14th. Capes is coming to consoles and PC on May 29th.
Oh, cool. I played that demo on the Steam Fest like last year. That's cool.
Rolling Hills launches June 4th. Also coming to Game Pass day one. What else we got here? One Piece Odyssey Deluxe Edition is coming to Switch on July 26th. Final Fantasy 14 is doing a crossover with Yo-Kai Watch on April 24th.
I mean, Yo-Kai Watch is still a thing?
I guess, man. What do you call that, Spookymon?
Oh, hey, you know what? real quick, what comes out this week, that Rotwood game. Did you say that?
Oh, yeah. No, that's a great game, too. I played that demo.
Yeah, it's early access, of course, but it's like $10.99. I saw on their thing, but that's Clay, and I love that developer, like their publisher. I love them, so yeah, I'm
you mean Clay?
That. Yeah,
you guys, Clay, made, yeah, Clay, yeah. Mark of the Ninja.
Yep. Love that
it's,
game.
The demo was up during the last Steam Fest, and it is really, really good.
It's hilarious I call them the Mark of the Ninja people when most people know them for Don't Starve.
My wife plays Don't Starve. She loves Don't Starve. I never got into it, but she can't play it on console. She can only play it on PC, but she loves Don't Starve.
Kids don't know what Mark of the Ninja is because they only know Don't Starve.
Mark of the Ninja is so good. And they re-released Mark of the Ninja a couple years ago, too. Because you got it for free if you had owned it.
Man, remember when we used to get shit for free? That was a cool time.
Yeah, those were the good old days.
F1 24 launches May 31st. Kingdom Come Deliverance 2.
I get what you did there. Yeah, okay.
This is launching in 2024.
To say the least, Ken is not a fan of Kingdom Come Deliverance.
What are you talking about? I'm still in the tutorial after 5 years. What are you talking about? Fabledom is leaving early access on May 13th, also coming to all consoles later this year. Five Nights at Freddy's Help Wanted 2 is coming to PS5 on June 20th. Darkest Dungeon 2 is coming to PS4 and PS5 on July 15th.
No Xbox.
Nope.
Man.
Octopath Traveler's back on the Nintendo eShop. Remember when they announced Octopath Traveler 2 for Xbox? It was coming in spring?
Yeah, well.
Yeah.
That's crazy, right? Bread and Fred is coming to the Switch on May 23rd. TMNT Splintered Fate is coming in July to Nintendo Switch. It was originally an Apple Arcade game.
It's a good game, too.
It's a roguelite.
It's a roguelite.
Yeah.
It is.
Mm-hmm.
But it's pretty fun.
That's okay. I'm good. Duck Detective, The Secret Salami, launches May 23rd on Switch and PC.
Okay, I saw that title somewhere. I maybe put that in the chat in our Discord, but I want to play that just on the name. Like, what's happening there?
I mean, it's a duck.
It's a detective. Who's a duck?
Yeah. But he's looking for secret salami? Is it somebody stole it? Like, what happened?
Don't know. Yars Rising is coming to everything. Including the Atari VCS, by the way.
I was about to answer my question about whether it's connected to Yars Revenge.
Yes, I believe it's part of that lineup of like the where they remaster those old games.
Yeah.
Cat Quest 3 is coming on August 8th.
Cannot wait. I know. Clown me, but Cat Quest is good. Those games are fun.
Yeah, but do we need three of them?
Yeah.
Do we?
I mean,
do we
need two Overwatches?
No, we don't. There's no argument here. We did not need a second Overwatch.
I have not played the Cat Quest games. I keep meaning to play them, but...
You would like them. I think you would like them. Like, because they're RPGs from that top perspective. Like, it's... And this one is adding, like, vehicles. Like, you get a ship and stuff. Like, they're cute games. I don't know. Like, I... You know, fuck it. It's a cute game.
They've been on my list for a while, so...
Okay, good.
Well, you gotta wait, because you're also getting Little Kitty in the Big City on May 9th.
Oh, yeah.
Hell yeah. Can't wait. And it's on Game Pass. Yep. You see that? It's
coming to Game Pass.
I did not see that. Yeah. Day one?
Day one.
Yep.
Wow, that's great.
Yeah.
That saved Game Pass right there.
You laugh, but I'm excited for Little Kitty Big City.
I am too. Why are you clowning us, man?
I'm not clowning you. I know you guys are excited for it.
He's gonna play Overwatch 2 some more. That's all that matters.
Exactly. Well, there's nothing here. Like I'm depressed. I don't know what you're talking about. Crow Country is coming to Xbox. Previously announced for PS5 and PC on May 9th. That is a PS1 inspired horror game, I think.
Oh, okay. I was going to ask, which one was that? Because I couldn't remember.
SteamWorld Heist 2 launches August 8th for everything, also coming to Game Pass Day 1. Atomic Owl has been announced for everything. Mullet Mudjack launches May 15th on Steam. Kena, the Bridge of Spirits, was rated by the ESRB for Xbox. What's happening?
I want to play that. Yeah, I'm looking forward to
that. It's a good-ass game, and it's fucking beautiful.
It looked beautiful. Like, it was on, I think when I had PlayStation Premium, I think it was on there, but I was, like, deep into Death Stranding, which I need to go back and finish that. So I didn't mess with it, but yeah, it's coming to Xbox, so I'm pretty excited. I'm going to pick that up.
Fallout London, the fan DLC size mod, was delayed indefinitely because of the next-gen patch.
That sucks for them.
It was supposed to launch on Tuesday, just FYI.
Yep. That sucks for them.
City Skylines 2 console versions have been delayed to an unspecified date. I love this. I'm just going to read this verbatim in the news story. Braid Anniversary Edition, the remake of the indie hit from full-time weirdo J-Blow, got delayed to May 15th.
Wow.
Full-time weirdo J-Blow.
Cool.
Human Fall Flat 2 has been delayed to 2026.
So they can make the controls worse.
I don't think you can. a Rayman board game will launch this year. Who asked for that?
That's the real
who
question.
Asked for it?
Yeah. Nobody.
I don't know. Not me.
Hades 2 technical test is out. If you're cool, you got a code. We didn't get a code.
No, I saw that had dropped, though.
Yeah, it's out there. And everybody's
I wonder why they're doing a technical test. Cause is it multiplayer? Because that's...
I don't know. It's not... I don't know, dude. I don't fucking... Why are you asking me? I don't know.
I don't know. I'm going to look it up because that just seems weird. I wouldn't think that would need a tech test.
I played the first one for like an hour and I was like, oh, okay, not for me.
It's good. That oh man, yeah, I liked the first one. I have that. I think I reviewed it for us. Like I have it on PlayStation, Xbox, and Switch. Like I fucking have that game everywhere.
Lawbreakers is back from the dead, kind of. Fans have created a launcher which makes the game playable again after 6 years.
So nice. kind of like they did with COH and Homecoming.
Yeah, except Lawbreakers isn't a good video game.
I mean...
It's not. It's really not.
Yeah, okay, well...
Like, it wanted to be Unreal Overwatch, and it was neither. And I played it. I did not have fun. Like, at all. Hollow Knight Silksong has been raided by in Australia, so... okay. That's going to be a Summer Game Fest thing, I think. Is what we're going to hear about.
Yeah,
that.
Well, we'll see.
I did not like the first one. I thought the first one was not a fun video game.
Which one was that?
Hollow Knight. It's just hard.
Hollow Knight.
It's a Souls game where you're playing a bug.
No, I didn't play
good.
That.
It's
oh,
like
it's
I
the
said,
Silk
it's
Song
really
thing.
Hard. Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, I didn't play the first one.
I think, Terrence, actually, based on what I know about you, you'd probably like the first one.
Okay.
But
it's on Game Pass?
No.
It was. I don't know if it still
it's
is.
It's not now.
Okay.
Oh, no. Yeah.
Everybody, talk. That game is like... I don't like the game, which is fine. Like, it's not my jam. But, like, people talk about that game like it's Jesus. Like, people think that is, like, the greatest video game ever made. Like, people really love Hollow Knight.
It's definitely not the big greatest video game ever made. But in terms of 2D Souls-likes, it's pretty good.
Yeah. I just didn't like its fucking...
It's got Souls-like and Metroidvania in it, so...
Yeah. Nice. I don't know. I didn't like it.
I never beat it, though, obviously, because I'm not good at video games.
I mean, duh. Who is? After 30, who is, truly?
And not very many people.
Jay. Well, Jay's got a disadvantage. You know, he's got a one-up on everybody.
That's true.
Hasbro and Wizards of the Coast are currently in talks with a lot of partners about the next Baldur's Gate, after Larian said they wanted to work on a different project. Speaking of Larian Studios, they're currently working on 2 games which are based on their own IPs. They're still in the early days of development. Larian already stated that their next project will likely have an early access release again.
They said their own IPs, right? Not new IPs?
Yeah, said their own IPs.
Yeah, so their Divinity games.
I was going to say, yeah,
the
third going
game.
Back to Divinity. Yeah, that's cool.
I mean, I guess, like, I know everybody loves Baldur's Gate 3, but, like, those guys just make, like, the same kind of game over and over again, and it's not my jam, so I never get excited when they announce something.
Well, that's your own fault, because you missed out on one of the best games of the generation.
You know, you never played Overwatch, and it was, like, one of the best games ever made.
I did play Overwatch.
Exactly. I played Baldur's Gate 3.
Yeah, well,
I didn't like it.
Yeah.
There's lots of games that people rant and rave about that people don't like. It's fine. You gotta call a brother out.
I'm just telling you.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's fine. Keanu Reeves is voicing Shadow in Sonic 3,
which is awesome as well.
It's a perfect casting. Let's be fair.
Yeah. It really is.
Comedy Central announced a Golden Axe animated series from Mike McMahon. That is like the weirdest headline I read this week.
I don't know who Mike McMahon is.
I don't either.
He does. Well, you guys wouldn't. He's made Star Trek Lower Decks, the animated Star Trek show, which is really fucking good. Like, it plays a lot like Rick and Morty meets Star Trek.
But explain
so if you're
to
a fan
me,
of Star Trek,
explain
go ahead.
To me how Golden Axe fits into that.
Have absolutely no idea. I think maybe what they're looking at him like, you know, oh well, he took Star Trek and, you know, turned it into a cartoon and did all this good, because it's gotten hella good reviews. Like, it's really good. Maybe he can do that with this. I don't know. Just Golden Axe seems like the weirdest pull ever. Like, what?
Yeah, I don't understand.
Where was the last Golden Axe game? Like,
dude, you don't want to know about it.
Was Golden Axe on the list of games that Sega was remaking?
Yes, it is on that okay. list.
That's probably why. That's why. Yep, but that's why.
Y'all don't remember the last Golden Axe game, do you?
It was that 3D one, right?
That 360 game, and oh.
Yeah, it was
bad.
Oh, it's bad.
It was balls to the extreme.
Beast Rider is what it was called.
Beast Rider, that's it.
Yeah. Oh, man, that game is so bad.
That game is awful.
Fallout.
Well, let's hope if they bring back Golden Axe, they don't bring it like that.
Oh, no. They're definitely never doing that again.
It's a nice 2D beat 'em up, Streets of Rage style would be awesome.
Yes, that's all. Yes. Oh, I played that Ninja Gaiden. Wow, that Double Dragon Gaiden game. Like, speaking of beat 'em ups, I don't know.
The roguelike one. Just,
yeah. Eh.
It's fine.
It's not hateful. Yeah, it's fine. Like, I wish it wasn't a roguelike, but I'm like, yeah, it's fine.
The Fallout TV show has been renewed for season 2, because of course it has.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Rabbit and Bear Studios already confirmed that they're working on a sequel to Ayuden Chronicle 100 Heroes, despite Yoshitaka Murayama passing back in February. He was the creator of Suikoden. I believe.
Mm.
So they're moving forward, even though he passed away in February, with a sequel. Take-Two. Oh, what's that? Go ahead.
I said that's good.
Yeah, I hope it's good. It's out on Tuesday. I'm gonna check it out. I love Suikoden 2. Like, that was a great game. Hoping this game is good. We don't have it. I know reviews came out today, which is weird.
It is weird on a Sunday.
Yeah, I saw them right before we started recording the show. I was like, oh, that's a weird embargo date. Okay. But they seem to be pretty good reviews. I'll check it out since it's on Game Pass. I like that little mini game they released last year. That was pretty fun.
They released a mini game?
Yeah, it's like a short, like, side-scrolling action RPG that was kind of like a precursor to the big game.
It wasn't bad, actually. Yeah, it wasn't bad.
What's it called?
It's called Ayuden Chronicles something else. I don't remember the subtitle for it. It's on Game Pass. But yeah, it's like a 2D side-scrolling action RPG. It's pretty good. Take-Two announced its plans to once again cut more of its workforce, this time 5%, around 600 people, and the cancellation of multiple unannounced video games. Like, what was Rockstar working on besides Grand Theft Auto? Take-Two.
Who knows?
Didn't Take-Two just buy Gearbox?
Yep.
Okay, that's what I thought. What if they laid off Randy? Hey, Randy, get the fuck out.
He gotta be a magician full time.
Content warning launched on April 1st for free. But only for the first 24 hours, 6.6 million people grabbed it for free, and then 1 million people bought it after the free period ended.
Yep. That was a hell of a gamble on their part, and it definitely seems to have paid off.
Yep.
Yeah.
If your game is good, that works. If your game is bad, maybe not.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Maneater has sold 14 million units. That game did numbers, man. Holy shit. Crash 4.
Well, it's on everything, too.
Well, it is on everything, but still, for a shark PG, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
That game is really good too. I know Anthony appreciates it as much as I do. That game is really good. Crash 4, It's About Time, has sold 5 million copies. And just so you're aware, Sea of Thieves has now surpassed 40 million players across Xbox and PC. That
Jesus.
Is bananas.
That is absolutely, man.
I'm glad there are people that enjoy that game. I am Same. Not a fan of it.
Yeah, I don't. But... I didn't like it. Like, I played it during the beta, and we had fun, but then I realized it was just that same loop over and over, and I was like, yeah, it's not for me.
Yeah.
My son and my nephew.
I was like, really, what aren't you telling me, Ryan?
Right.
both really like that game, but I'm not a big fan.
Yeah. I played it with friends, and, like, it was fun for, like, 2 or 3 sessions, and then I just kind of didn't care anymore. 4 Fallout games are in the European Weekly Top 10, digital and physical, after the TV show dropped. Fallout 3 is at number 10, Fallout New Vegas is at number 9, Fallout 76 is at number 8, and at number 1 is Fallout 4.
Yep.
Good for them.
Yeah. I mean, it got me to reinstall the games, like...
It's funny because I even installed Fallout Shelter on my phone because I was playing it. My wife was like, are you playing Fallout? I'm like, yeah. What got you into that? It's like the TV show, man. It was good. Yeah. So
a TV show was so good. I was like, man, I don't want to go back and check these games because I never finished Fallout 4.
See, and I didn't either. Like, I booted it up. Like I said, I installed it. I wish I had built the $10 thing. Anyway, I'm like level 6, so I'm like super early in it. I'm like, oh, well, I'm just going to start over. Shit.
Yeah, I'll probably start a new character when that patch drops on Tuesday. Sony has announced that the servers for Little Big Planet 3 on the PS4 will stay offline indefinitely after they were taken down in January after some technical issues.
Oh, dang.
All online services, including access to other players' creations, are no longer available. Any user-generated content stored locally will remain available. Yep. I think Media Molecule might be kind of done at this point.
I think it's so.
Yeah, I think so too, unfortunately.
Yeah. Well, that last thing they put out, Dreams, nobody even talks about anymore.
Yeah, well, it wasn't that good.
I have an email that I'm going to bring up from Jeremy. It's just entitled, Thank You. He says, Hey guys, I just recently heard one of the guys on a podcast I listened to for years suddenly died.
Oh, man.
It was Gabe Petillo with Married to the Gamers. It hit me really hard. That said, I just wanted to tell you all how grateful I am that y'all share your time with me every week. You are appreciated. Thank you.
Thank you. We appreciate you guys, too.
Absolutely. He says, now for games, I just cracked 100 hours on Dragon's Dogma 2. Goddamn, man.
Yeah.
Magic Archer is friggin' rad. What is your favorite class to play in any game? I think mine has to be Monk from Diablo 3. Man, that was an amazing game already. Thanks again for the show.
Oh, man. Favorite class from any game. I don't know, man. I usually play like sword and board tanks in just about everything. So that's my Dragon's Dogma character as well.
I like playing archers myself.
Wow.
I don't know
that's
why.
So funny.
I liked playing an archer in Skyrim.
I played an archer in the first Dragon's Dogma, and I think I just switched my class in Dragon's Dogma 2 to an archer.
I am usually a spellcaster. That's so funny how we are so, like, well, we got a well-balanced party here. Because I like support in some of those games, but I like throwing magic. So a mage, a warlock... If I can shoot some spells and do some lightning shit with my hands, I usually am going for that class.
I did an archer in Final Fantasy 14 too. When my first character I rolled, the one I got at like level 60 or 70. And then, obviously in Overwatch, I prefer to play support. So That's what I play in that game. My second is DPS. I hate playing tank. Like, the tank is not fun in that game.
I love tanking Overwatch.
Oh, man, I can't stand it. Especially now that it's dominated by the horse. Fuck the horse. The horse needs to go.
Yeah. I probably don't like it now. I used to, but I haven't played it in a while.
What is the horse? I don't know.
Orisa is like a, she's like a horse style. Like she's on four legs kind of thing.
Oh, yeah. Okay. She's a robot that she's built kind of like a horse. Yeah. She has four legs. Gotcha.
She basically, the reason why she sucks is like she has so much health and then like all of her cooldowns like mitigate damage. So like, and they're all on a timer that if you play it right, you can just keep spamming them over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
So she's almost impossible to kill. It's fucking annoying. I got one tweet from Shogun. It says, Halo is not bad. Season 2 works. If you like MK, you can forgive Halo Season 2. Is he talking about Mortal Kombat?
I think so.
What's that have to do with a TV Mortal Kombat show?
I think he may be talking about the movie. Maybe he was talking about the Mortal Kombat movie. I don't know. I'm guessing.
Which Mortal Kombat movie, though? Like,
probably the last one, because it wasn't really very good. The one where they focused on the new character.
Oh, what was his name? Fucking,
I don't even remember.
Cole.
I don't remember his
Cole
name.
Cole was his name.
Paul?
Man, Cole.
Cole.
Oh, Cole.
He got a basic-ass name. Cole. Damn.
I mean, he was a basic-ass character. I mean, that movie is fine for what it is. Like,
it is.
It's Mortal Kombat. Well, and,
yeah, I think that's his point, because season two of Halo, it's fine for what it is. I think it was better than season one. Like I said, I didn't even finish season one.
I mean,
but
I feel like
season two is, it's fine.
I can't do that. Like, I can't watch season two of a show I didn't finish season one for. Like, I couldn't do that.
Oh, really? Oh man, I do that stuff a lot. I can jump in. But see, I'm also the type of the nigga that don't mind spoilers. Like, that shit doesn't bother me.
It's
like,
not...
if it's interesting,
but
it kind of is, because, like, they're going to pick up 9 out of 10 from events that ended in the first season. So you're going to come in and not know what the hell is going on. I guess it's not really a spoiler, but I'm just saying, like, I can acclimate to that. Like, I don't mind. Like, I can pick up. Oh, okay. Based on conversation stuff, because they're going to present what's important in this season. So if they don't talk about it, then I obviously don't need to know, right? So that's typically how I move.
But
I just jump into something.
But you don't get any character build. You don't get any, like... Like, the character just shows up in the first episode of season two, and, like, you have no, like, relevance to them, because you didn't, you know, grow with them in the first season. Like, that's the part that I can't get past.
Well, I think where this is concerned, because what you're talking about, 100%, like, I wouldn't do that with, say, a Star Trek show or something that I'm really interested in, because I want to see all of it. But with Halo, like, I fell off. Like, I didn't enjoy what I saw of the first, you know, three episodes, and I was like, meh. But then the trailer that they showed for season two hinted and showed more of, like, the Halo stuff that I wanted to see, you know, Spartans and the Flood comes and all this other shit. So I'm like, oh, okay, well, I'll check this out, because I saw a little bit of the first one. So that was kind of why I did it. But you're right. Typically, if it's something I care about and I'm interested in, I wouldn't jump in the middle. I would start at the beginning. But because this was just kind of a, you know, they didn't sell me at first, but the second looked better.
That's why
I don't know. I'm weird.
Like, I can't do it. So, like, I'd have to finish season one, and my God, I just could not get through. I think I made it to the end of episode 3 or something.
Mm-hmm. That's what I saw 3 episodes, and I was like, that's typically what I'll give a show. I'll give you 3 episodes. If you could keep me, I'll watch it. But if you can't in 3, nah, I'm done. I'm okay.
Yeah, I couldn't continue. Like, Fallout was easy. Like, I just burned right through that in like a week, which I know for some people it's like, oh my God, why'd you take you so long? Like, motherfucker, I got shit to do.
Right? Because, yeah. Well, I mean, there's people that want the weekly episodes to drop to have those water cooler conferences. That's a whole thing. But yeah, I watched it like a little bit here or there because I was watching it with my son.
And I don't, you know,
different hours.
I'm going to be honest with you. Like, people say that they want the engagement, and to me, that's just whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, why? Like, I understand enjoying chatting with people about it, but you know what I hate about weekly drops is there seems to be a hell of a lot more spoilers in a weekly drop show than there is in a binge drop show.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I had nothing in Fallout spoiled for me, and it took me a week, maybe a little longer to watch the whole thing, and like nothing was spoiled for me. Whereas when I was watching The Mandalorian, motherfuckers out there 10 minutes after it aired. Like, oh my God, did you see so-and-so in the show?
Talk about all week.
Yeah. Like, did you see so-and-so was in the show? I can't believe so-and-so was in the show. I'm like, shut the fuck up.
Yep. I think as, you know, as a pro-choice person, I feel like, you know, they can put, you know, just put them all out there. If I want to watch an episode a week and you want to do that, then do that. But some of us, you know, don't have, you know, maybe ain't got the time or whatever. I may want to sit down and watch it all right now or whatever. Choices. That's all this is. There's options. Like I don't know. But you're right. There are a lot less spoilers for stuff when it's just all laid out as opposed to episodes weekly. X-Men 97 is a perfect example. It does the weekly stuff. Spoilers drop on Wednesdays minutes after that episode comes up.
Oh, yeah. Like, I was spoiled on it. I didn't
put
even
it all
watch
up
it.
One week.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like if they had put it all up there at the same time, I guarantee nobody wouldn't be posting all this different stuff. Like, cause yeah, I think you would hit me up about that one thing that happened a couple episodes ago, cause everybody was talking about it, and I'm like, I don't know, it's weird.
Yeah, I don't. It doesn't bother me either way. Like, there are some things, I understand the excitement. I get excited. Like, I'm excited for tonight because John Oliver's back, and every week when the new episode drops, my ass is there like first minute. Like, I fucking love that show. I get the weekly thing. But, like, I ain't got to worry about spoilers for John Oliver. Like, he's just going to make me laugh for 40 minutes, you know?
Yeah, I always watch him on YouTube, so I got to wait till Thursday now.
Oh, yeah, he talked about that at the beginning of the season. He's like, yeah, they're only going to put it out after a week. And I'm like, that sucks.
Yeah.
I wonder why.
So I got to wait till Thursdays now.
So they want more people to subscribe because they're losing subscribers on Max.
Oh, and I was going to say.
I do subscribe. I just don't. I'm not going to watch it live.
Well, I mean, you don't have to watch it live. You can just watch it when at 11 o'clock after that. You can just watch it whenever.
Yeah, I know.
You also missed the. And now this. You missed that part, don't you?
I do, yeah.
Oh, man. There's some good fucking shit in there. Oh, that show is so good. I'm so sad that Clarence Thomas didn't take him up on the bus. Made me sad.
I don't even know what y'all talking about.
Oh, dude, that show is so good.
You should watch Last Week Tonight.
It's so good. Okay. It basically like catches you up on the news for the week, like the biggest news, but it's fucking hilarious.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
And also sad and poignant, and
yeah, gotcha.
Like, he covers a lot of very serious stuff, but I mean it's a comedy show, but
it'll make
you feel like ass after you watch it.
Like, he digs into stuff that, like, I don't think, like, he did an episode, what was it, like a week and a half ago, for the food delivery.
Yeah,
man, there's so much shit in there that I didn't know. I'm just now like, God, that's fucked up.
Yeah, and he did Medicaid.
Yep, that was a good week. One.
It was good.
I'm always excited to see what tonight's top story is. Like, what are we going to talk about? Oh, man, that show is so good. I can't believe you don't watch it. You should watch it.
I will. I mean, he says on YouTube, so I watched last week's episode.
Yep. Hey, that's what the show's called, right?
Right.
Last Week Tonight. Oh, man. I still think about the Puteki Teki. I do.
I still think about the episode, the Fuck You Bob episode.
Oh, man. What about the rat porn?
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good one, too.
Oh, shit.
In the episode where he was talking about the Civil War statues, and he was talking about all the different statues that places could have instead.
Oh, yeah.
And the one for Charleston, South Carolina was... What, Stephen Colbert? And it wasn't a statue, it was actually Stephen Colbert.
Yeah. What's the statue he had in the lobby? Which one was that?
Was that the big alligator one?
Yeah, where it was flipping the middle finger or something?
Yeah.
God, that's a great show. Oh, shit. Oh, man. Oh, did he ever... I can't remember. Did he ever... release, you remember when he had that packet full of shit from the senators or whatever?
Yeah.
Oh, Lord.
Did he ever release that or did they pay him? I don't remember.
So. Well, he has some dirt on him?
Yeah. He had like a big packet of shit.
Yeah, thing about it.
Wow. Yeah. Okay.
He does some wild shit. I'm not going to lie. He does some wild shit.
He does some wild shit. He does some stuff that like he did a whole episode on my favorite episode was on. He did a whole episode on churches and like churches basically fleecing people for money. And so to prove how easy it was, he created his own church.
Wow.
And it's a really good, that's a really good episode.
The Clarence Thomas thing cracks me up because during the entire segment, he's like, I can't believe this is legal.
Right. It's like, he basically, Terrence, just so you know, he bribed Clarence Thomas, the boss, to retire from the Supreme Court.
Yeah.
And he didn't take him up on it, unfortunately, but.
No, he did not. But like, he just, the whole episode, he's just like, I can't believe this is legal, but my lawyers tell me this is legal. Oh, that's shit. Good. Oh, man. Yeah, I'm excited. I'm excited for that tonight. But yeah, as far as like other shows go, like, I just prefer to be it out there. Speaking of shit you shouldn't watch, apparently that Rebel Moon's pretty bad.
Yeah, I saw the, I wasn't going to watch it anyway, but I saw the proof.
I was going to, because I'm like, I watched the first half. I just want to see what happens. And like, then Snyder gets out there and is like, yeah, I want to do 8 parts, and this version should be 6 hours. I'm like, motherfucker, I'm done.
He was on there talking about how people, you know, maybe people like safe movies. They're not going to like my stuff. It's like, no, dude, your stuff's just not very good.
Yeah,
like, right.
I've liked some of his movies. They were fine. But like at this point, I'm like, dude, like every movie he puts out, he's like, I need to do a 4-hour version for you to get it. I'm like, no, you just need to edit better.
Just make
exactly.
A damn movie.
Yeah.
Right. Like this was your shot. Like, you know, there's no other chance, my nigga. Like, you should have did it with this. Like, I don't understand.
And the problem is he's done. Like, the Dawn of the Dead movie is good.
It was, yeah.
Like, it was. 300 it is, yeah. Was a good movie.
300 is good.
Fucking Sucker Punch is a terrible movie. He's like, I want to redo that. I'm like, dude, every time somebody says one of your movies is terrible doesn't mean you get to do like a 9-hour version that somehow makes it better.
But I think that's what he thinks. Like, if we say it's bad, he's like, yeah. Oh, okay, they give me a do-over. Okay, movie, cool.
And then he waits to see what people don't like about it. And then he's like, well, I just cut that. And then he quickly asks everybody to come back and refilm it.
Like, I can't.
Puts out the 6-hour cut. That
yeah,
made
no.
It better.
There's no, I, yeah, like I saw it on Netflix this week, and I was like, nah, I'm good.
Yeah, I'm cool.
Like that first one wasn't good enough for me to dedicate to one that's apparently worse than the first one,
and longer, right?
And longer, I think. And I'm just
yeah,
like,
I think it is longer than.
Nah, I'm good. I don't need to watch this. I can watch. I actually watched the Late Night with the Devil instead. That movie's fucked up.
I'm not surprised.
I mean, it's called Late Night with the Devil, so
yeah,
right. Like I mean, that's pretty much.
Yeah, that movie's fucked up. I still need to watch Dune. Like I haven't watched the first one.
I just finished the book not too long ago. I haven't watched the first one yet either.
Yeah, like the second one's out. Everybody's like talking about it.
The book.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's like my fourth time trying to read it.
Okay.
And I finally made my way through it this time. It's a very dense book. It's good.
Yep.
But it's a very dense book. So you got to really be like in the right space to read that book.
Mm-hmm. They all are like that. At least the ones that he wrote. Because his Frank. Son takes over at some point in the series. I haven't read any of those, but I've read all the ones that Frank wrote. And yeah, I love the Dune series.
Yeah, I enjoyed the first one enough that I'll read the next one.
Nice.
And I want to see the movies. So
yeah, I have the first movie. I just haven't watched. I also need to watch Oppenheimer, which I've started like 4 times, and I get like 10 minutes into it, and I'm like, God damn it, do I have 3 hours?
It's funny. I sat down and did the same thing. I was like, you know, I'm about to watch this. I really don't care. But I'm like, man, everybody, yeah, I'll watch it. And then it came on. I saw it was 3 hours or something. I was like, nope, I probably will not be watching this. All right. Yeah, I'm cool on Oppenheimer. I know what happened. It's fine.
Well, I mean, sure, you know what happens. It's not like there's a spoiler in it or anything, but I just heard it's so good, you know?
Yeah, no, I get it. The actors' performances and stuff. If it was more people in it that I actually really liked actor-wise, because like Cillian Murphy, he's not bad, but he's not like the top of my list. If like Robert Downey Jr. was like the star, I'd probably watch it. Or some of the other actors that I really enjoy, but dude don't really move the needle for me. And I get it, and I'm not really that curious about the subject matter. So, all right, I'm good.
I don't know, man. Movies are hard for me anymore, like... Although I am super excited about the new Shyamalan movie.
Yeah, I do want to see that. Looks great.
I want to see what it is. Like, somebody summed it up perfectly on Twitter when the trailer came out. They were like, he showed you exactly what he wanted you to see.
Yeah.
So, like, what is going to happen? Like, what?
Right.
Yep.
What is the thing you don't know? Like his last movie, Old. I don't know if y'all saw that.
I did.
No, I did not.
Like,
I liked Old.
He told you in the trailer, like, this is what the movie's about, but you don't know why.
Mm-hmm.
And then when it gets to the end, I'm like, oh, okay. Not his best twist, but still, I get it.
Yeah, it wasn't the best, but it was good. I enjoyed Old.
Yeah,
I enjoyed this one. Looked good. And it's good to see Josh Hartnett getting work again. I'm happy about that.
There's a Twitter account dedicated to that, you know?
Him getting work?
Yeah, like there's a Twitter account that like anytime he's in a movie, like there's a Twitter account that's like, yeah, Josh Hartnett is now in this movie. It's fucking
He was in Oppenheimer.
Yeah, he was in Oppenheimer. What?
Oh, I didn't know that. Okay. All right.
Because you didn't make it through the 3 hours.
Exactly. Exactly.
Oh, man. All right. That's all I got as far as the news. Tweets, emails. If you'd like to email us, podcasts, ztgd.com.
Oh, hey, let me quickly shout out. So shout out to Pete, who's written in a couple times, friend of mine, friend of the show, who was recently in Japan visiting family and sent me an awesome care package from Japan with a 40th anniversary Capcom shirt,
oh, nice.
An awesome Rockman and Rush shirt. And some yummy Japanese treats. So just want to give Pete a shout out for that awesome care package.
Thanks, you need Pocky?
No, but to be fair, we have Pocky here. So.
We do, but goddamn it, from Japan, it's got to taste better. And they got more flavors.
They have more flavors for sure. Yeah.
Pocky is fucking delicious. I remember when I was introduced to that, I was like, goddamn, this is good.
Yeah, and it's so simple, too. Like, it's crazy, but yeah, it's good. It's definitely good stuff.
If you want to tweet at us, it's at ZTGD Radio on Twitter. I still refuse to call it X.
Oh, yeah, I ain't calling it X.
No, I will never call it X.
Never call it X.
Never. I think that's it. I think that's all I got. Because Terrence and Anthony are never doing Phoenix Down. I've just come to that conclusion.
I mean, listen. We have stuff going on. We're going to get there.
You never should have mentioned that as an idea.
I never should have. No.
Just like your other show.
I don't even know if I did. I feel like do what?
You guys had your other show you were going to do and you never did that either.
I know, because that's something else that's in the works. Listen, it's complicated being a human.
I know. Like when you came back and you were talking about doing all this stuff, I was like, yeah, that won't last long.
Yeah, no. Because I had a whole, like, I was like, oh man, it's going to be, and I'm like, damn, this is a lot of shit. Oh
yeah.
My God.
Like, when do you find the time to do said shit?
Oh man. Like, oh, I'm having to tell my kid, go over there now. I'm trying to do this. Get on out of here. You bleed?
Get on
out
of here.
Just get a Band-Aid. You'll be all right. You fine. Oh man.
Now, yeah. Like, Drew's all in it now too. Like, nobody's heard from Drew in forever except us. He's over there doing the baby stuff.
I'm sure he loves it, every minute of it.
He'll love every minute of it for the next 5 or 6 years, and then he'll be like, fuck.
Mm-hmm. That's how it goes.
But then you get free help when they get older, you know.
That's true.
And that's the plus. That's when it really starts to kick in. He's like, yes! Because I told you, I run my kids like remotes. Get out here, cut this grass. Go take this trash out. Go do the. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 100%. Every week I teach the boy a new thing. I'm like, this would be a good life lesson for you. And also, I'm old.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
That's also a good life lesson for him.
Exactly.
Yep.
Oh, shit. All right. Well, that's all I got. So if nobody has anything else, we'll get out of here.
Alrighty. And it goes something like this.